to one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. With the right leadership.
I'll make a recording of my formulae for the Senator, in case I don't return this time. If only I won't be too late.
Go take a run and jump.
My patience begins.
He's right.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Folks, I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm missing out on some football games to do this show, so let's get this over with. This is the What Are You Reading comic book show. I'm your host, The Surfer. My team won, so that makes me happy. I'm doing okay in the fantasy football league. But anyway, we're here to talk about comic books and related topics. And this show is about the news, but more importantly, it's about taking your call on Skype and discussing comic books with you. And if you want to do that, you can call me on Skype at SilverSurfer_Forever. Seems like Skype did another update, and it's confusing. And I don't know if it's working properly or not. And, you know, there's always Skype updates. But there's always a problem with Skype at the same time, so I wish they would settle on something and let it work properly. And what I mean by that is you can take multiple calls and have a conference call with no problem, and you know, stuff don't get dropped and the normal Skype stuff. One second. I'm gonna take a pill. Because I have more medicine. Sorry about that, I forgot to take it. Anyway, we're on rantemradio.com. There's plenty of ways you can listen. Of course, you can listen live in the chat room. You can listen on TuneIn and Stitcher Radio. Or you can listen on the download, iTunes or Podbean. And as far as box office for this week, not much to really talk about. The only thing still in the top 10 is, well, Leap is at number 8 at $2 million for its total of $18 million. Now, it's done better overseas than it has done here, but, you know, it is an overseas movie. Spider-Man Homecoming is down to 9th place this week. It added a $1.8 million to its $330 million total domestic, and worldwide $861 million. So Marvel falls into money without even trying, and everything else is kind of low down the list, ready to leave or whatever. So we won't get in. It's not much box office. All you Stephen King fans out there, it is number one again with another $60 million. So, and it only had a budget of $35 million, so, you know, people wanted to see that that Pennywise, the dancing clown. I'm not afraid of clowns per se, but I don't want to see no horror movie about clowns. That just ruins it for me. Anyway, no calls, so let's find some news to talk about. And, alright, don't do this to me. Okay, well, we got some decent things to talk about this week. Not a lot, but It's not the quality, it's the quantity. As soon as I can cue it up. And let's see. Make sure I'm not reading anything from last week. Let's see. The 9th is last week, so. Okay, too far back. I don't know if I talked about The Boys coming to Amazon or not, but I think I did. Let's start with some sad news. Lost a comic book legend. Len Wein, the creator of Wolverine, died at the age of 69. That's kind of young, if you ask me. Len Wein, the award-winning writer and editor, perhaps best known for co-creating Swamp Thing for DC and Wolverine for Marvel Comics, along with editing Alan Moore and David Gibson's Watchmen, passed away Sunday, according to multiple industry reports, according to the World of News, from fellow comics veteran Paul Kippenberg. As I said, he was 69. He got his start in comics in 1968, working on DC's Teen Titan number 18. His first work in Marvel came in Daredevil 71 in 1970. From there, he continued writing anthology stories for both publishers, along with guest spots in such titles as Superman and The Flash. This is from Comic Book Resources. Together with Bernie Wrightson, they created the supernatural superhero Swamp Thing in 1971, House of Secrets 92. Swamp Thing would go on to star in the various ongoing and miniseries that continue to this day. Wein also continued to the Man-Thing mythos over at Marvel, introduced the concept of whoever knows fear burns at the Man-Thing touch. And before y'all get it confused, Man-Thing was created a month before Swamp Thing, so. Okay, during Wein's tenure at Marvel, he teamed up with artist John Romita Sr. and Herb Trimpe to create Wolverine and the Incredible Hulk 180 in 1975. Wolverine would appear as a member of the revamped X-Men team Giant Size X-Men 1, penned by Wein and illustrated by Dane Cockrum. The new lineup included the classic characters Storm, Nightwing, Colossus, and would become mainstays across multiple X-Men lineups and volumes. Now, so, don't he get credit for creating Storm and Nightwing, Colossus? Or they was created before they showed him Giant Size X-Men number one? Let's see. Wein returned to DC in the late 70s as a writer-editor. As the former, he created Batman supporting cast member Lucius Fox and contributed to the rare DC Marvel crossover in the DC Special Series number 27. He worked as an editor. Okay, so he did a lot for this industry, and he's going to be missed. And like I said, 69, I consider to be pretty young. So, rest in peace. Thoughts go out to the family. You know, the story dropped right after not long after I got off the air last week, which I was like, gee whiz, I could have talked about it then. Now, we all know that Star Wars Episode 9 has been having troubles with their directors. I believe I talked about last week where the director was fired. And now it looks like J.J. Abrams will come back to direct Episode 9 of Star Wars. Of course, he directed Episode 7 and has been involved with the Star Wars franchise as a producer role, but now he's going to go back to directing it. And because the last director was Colin Trevorrow. And it seemed like him and Kathleen Kennedy were just having, you know, a difference how things should go. So, and she's the boss. So, J.J. Abrams can remake Return of the Jedi. Like the joke's been going around, because people say Force Awakens is just a remake of New Hope, which the reason why I don't have a problem with, because they remade New Hope in Phantom Menace. So it seems like that one story just starts over and over, and it's just a question of where the rest of the trilogy goes, because Jedi and Attack of the Clones, they're not copies of each other. So you know, we'll see what happens with Star Wars. It's gonna make money no matter what happens, what we do, what we say. It's Star Wars. Now, for a movie I loved, and a lot of people loved, which came out early this year, Logan. It's been sent out for as Oscar screeners to Academy voters. It says the Oscar season is kicking off, and Logan is the movie that starts off the year. Academy Award winner voting campaign, according to Deadline. 20th Century Fox is the first to start sending out for your consideration DVD screeners, with the James Mangold movie being their weapon of choice. After critical and financial success, many deem the March movie as an Oscar contender due to its emotional depth, which went a bit more cerebral than your average superhero flick, thanks to the incredible performance by Hugh Jackman, Patrick Stewart, and it concluded the glorious story of the mutant Logan as he tries to put to bed the past of the X-Men Wolverine. The film also focuses on his acting as a father figure to the clone X-23 while running around for major tragedy involving the X-Men. And to this point, it's still my favorite comic book movie of the year. Of course, we do have a few more to go. Some big ones, you know, with Thor and Justice League and even Last Jedi, you can count that. And even Kingsman coming out this week. But as of right now, my number one movie so far is Logan. And yeah, that movie is just powerful. And you know, it finally, there are Wolverine. There's two versions of that. There's the movie version, and then there's the R-rated version, which I haven't watched yet. I do have a copy of it on Blu-ray, but I haven't gotten around to watch it. And I don't know if it's as violent as Logan was, but Logan, I mean, a movie just have to be more than just violent, but we finally got to see a Wolverine that we've read, and I've read comic books for years, where, you know, he go on berserker rages and just slaughters everything and everyone around him. And then with the performance of the girl who plays X-23, and the action scenes, and of course the you know, the story, the send-off of both Logan and Professor Xavier, you know, if we never got another X-Men film, you know, that film kind of works as the last X-Men film ever. Of course, it's never going to end because, you know, it's a popular franchise and Fox wants to make as much money as they can. I think a lot of people at this point wish Marvel could get their hands back on it. But I hope it's a... Well, you know, they do nominate a lot of movies, but I hope, in addition to actually being nominated for Best Picture and possibly Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor, that's really a real contender to win, not just a hand job to, you know, folks out there by nominating them. But then there's all these movies that's coming out in September and October that's like getting all the nods. The Academy needs to, you know, wake up, because look, not all comic book movies are great, but there have been some that just been overlooked just because of the term comic book movie is applied to it. And it's wrong. It's just wrong. So, oh man, this world we live in, I don't know what. I'm ready to go off world and find another planet to live on, because you know what the politics there is today. Somehow you think comic books would escape these things, but no, got to find their way into comic books. And I'm not talking about artists and writers, you know, commenting on, you know, what's going on in the world. I'm talking about the world commenting what's going on in comic books when they don't know what they're talking about. And there's been this thing about Superman, where especially with Fox News, that they're upset because in the issue of Superman, these immigrants was crossing the border trying to come to America. Of course, they're met by someone who feels he's a patriot with flag and a gun and a machine gun, trying to stop them at the border, ready to kill them. And Superman flies up and saves them. And of course, the guy's like, why are you protecting them? And you know, when the authorities come, Superman tells them to take care of them. And of course, the people they call the right wing, or conservatives, or whatever you want to call them, especially on Fox News, lost their minds, because they wondering why Superman would be doing such a thing. And most of them don't read comic books anyway, so they just, you know, shouldn't do it. Now, enough with that. We know we got a new, you know, the fall and then winter season will be coming up soon. And one of the shows coming out will be Krypton. And DC's Adam Strange is going to join the sci-fi series cast. Says here, Sean Sipples is joining the cast of sci-fi Superman 3 and Krypton, playing the role of DC comic adventurer Adam Strange. According to a report by Deadline, the character will be a regular in the series, which will expose the world of Superman would have called home had it not exploded. Debuting inside the pages of Showcase number 17 in 1958, Adam Strange was created by Julius Schwartz and Murphy Anderson during the Angelological excursion. Strange was transported to an alien planet, Ran, via the Zeta Beam. From there, he would go on many cosmic adventures, including playing a role in the Ran-Thanagar War and joining the Justice League United in the New 52. Teasing the plot for DC Entertainment President and Chief Creative Officer Jeff Johns revealed that at Comic-Con International in San Diego, the series would jump between time periods, unraveling the conspiracy, as it shows that although it takes place centuries ago on Krypton about the House of El, it's about a conspiracy from the present that has traveled back in time to, what's it, time to Krypton. That's what I'm reading. It says time to Krypton. I guess it's a typo. To prevent Superman legacy from ever happening. Adam Strange and Hawkwoman come to Krypton trying to stop the conspiracy and save Superman legacy. John announced Doomsday will be in the show, not more Doomsday, along with Brainiac, as long overdue to be seen on a screen like that. So, when is it supposed to be coming out again? And it's going to be, it's going to be a sci-fi network. But I don't know when it starts. You know, I'll keep an eye on it, see if it's worth watching or not. I hope it is, because I haven't had a sci-fi show to watch in a while. So, I think the last one I was watching was that show where the aliens were living on Earth and Defiant, yeah. And it kind of went off the air prematurely because it kind of ended without resolving everything. So it says here, John Hamm's voice is Boba Fett in the Star Wars audiobooks. Madman star John Hamm is trading a day drinking for bounty hunting. The actor will voice the fan favorite Boba Fett in the audiobook version from A Certain Point of View, the upcoming short story collection from Del Rey, celebrating 40th anniversary of Star Wars A New Hope. So that's cool. No big deal. If I don't know how many people listen to Star Wars audiobooks or not. But, you know, that maybe they give you an excuse to pick it up and try it. Where we at? Now, we just got the release of The Defenders after, of course, having a couple seasons of Daredevil and Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and Iron Fist. Well, throughout those series, there have been different characters show up in one or all of the different series. Mainly Claire Temple, she's been in everything. She's kind of like the thread. But there's been another guy who showed up in a lot of different episodes of seasons of Marvel's Netflix series. And that man name is Turk Barrett, and he's going to return in The Punisher. Says Punisher won't feature a cameo by Claire Temple or pick up any threats from The Defenders, but we'll have another connection to some of the Marvel Netflix dramas. Turk Barrett. And the last time I think we saw Turk Barrett, he was in Luke Cage, and he was like, yeah, I'm going back up to Hell's Kitchen. It's just too crazy down in Harlem. And I don't know if he's going to survive with the Punisher, depending on what kind of interaction with the Punisher. Whether he's an informant or he's just out of luck, and the Punisher guns him down like he does everybody else. The character was introduced in the first season of Daredevil, where he worked for crime boss Vladimir Antoli Ravenov, until he betrayed them by allying himself with Wilson Fisk. After serving some jail time, Barrett returned to Hell's Kitchen to sell guns to criminals fearing Frank Castle. He also sold information to Cottonmouth and then weapons to Diamondback on Luke Cage, and briefly ran into the hero once again on the defense. Oh, he was in the defense. I gotta go back and look at that. So, there is somebody who's tying all this thing, tying the Punisher to the rest of the universe. Now, this should make some people happy. I don't know if it's going to make everybody happy. But Man of Steel, of course, is going to be made. Well, Matthew Vaughn confirms that he's in talks to direct Man of Steel 2. Says here, Kingsman, The Golden Circle director Matthew Vaughn has confirmed a month-old report that he's met with Warner Brothers about the sequel of the 2013 Man of Steel. Which I think I'm hoping he gets it. Now, of course, Zack Snyder, I don't know if he's not doing it because of the personal family problems, or they were just going to take him off anyway because of the way things have turned since Man of Steel. And then, there's a lot of reshoots to Justice League. Even though they're trying to say that everything that Joss Whedon has done is what is the reshoots that Zack Snyder would have done anyway. I don't know if that's true or not. No, I guess we'll never know. And who knows if the real story will get out or not. Only thing that matters is we get a good Justice League, because even I'm going to cry if that movie fails. Because it'd be sad. Very, very sad. Very, 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 very sad. It'd be sad. Let's see. What's going on here? Anything new before I get to the rest of the week stories? Nobody's calling. No Doom. I guess he's trying to watch his team play football. And, says here, Adult Swim teases return date for Venture Brothers. Okay. I have to look at that later. Post it to the web, not to the website, to Facebook. Now, let's get to The Orville, which, of course, debuted last week on Fox. The Seth MacFarlane new series about a show that's similar to, you know, Star Trek, where he becomes the captain of a space vessel, the Orville. And it's a comedy drama. And, you know, he's given a ship, even though some people didn't want him to have a ship because he's, you know, messed up over the past year after he catches his wife cheating on him. But he's being given this chance, and he's given a ship, and he gets together a crew. And they go on their first mission, and they have to pick up XO, and it turns out it's his ex-wife who he can't stand now. And, you know, throughout the show, there's a lot of silliness, you know, just people, instead of them acting like they're professionals, they're just acting like they're regular people talking and saying silly things. And, you know, one guy, you know, wants to know if he can drink soda on the bridge, you know, and they show him taking a sip. And, you know, they asking questions about whether a planet has strip joints or bars. And then there's a scene where, you know, they get a call. And in the background, the person doing the calling, you can see a dog going to town on himself. And I found a lot of things to be funny, and some things weren't funny. But I'm going to watch it. I know it's already, I guess it's split down the middle how people feel. I think some people think it's garbage, and some people don't, because apparently it is the most, it is the Fox biggest premiere in years. And before I read that story, I want to say one of the things I hope doesn't continue with this show, and it seems to be a trademark of Seth MacFarlane, is him insulting insults at women all the time. And in this case, it's his it's the person playing his ex-wife, played by is it Anna Palicki? And the thing is, he can't let it go that his wife cheated on him. Even though he doesn't realize his wife was the reason why he got this command in the first place. And she's trying to make up for it. But, you know, all he's doing is just hurling insults at her. And if that's going to be the show, that's going to drag it down, in my opinion, because he, you know, all the properties he do is just, he gets into these jokes about insulting women, which you got to find something else to do, dude. I mean, it's not always funny. But getting back to the story, if I can get the page open, let's try this again. Okay, here we go. Let me close some browsers and then I'll try this again. Okay. Now, I will be curious as to, you know, how many people will drop off from last week to this week. Since the Orville debuted to a big ratings on Sunday, and those numbers have grown significantly in the days since. The Orville rating in the key demographic of 19 to 49 grew 30% in the live plus 3 rating from 2.8 in live same day to 3.5. That brings total viewership to the show premiere in live plus 3 to up to 11.3 million from the 8 4.6 million live same day. The Orville live same day premiere numbers tied those ABC This Is Us. I thought This Is Us was on NBC. And Fox comedy The Mick, which also had the two highest rated debuts of last season, not counting the 24 Legacy, which had the Super Bowl lead in. Let me get to these numbers make the Orville Fox's biggest hour-long debut since Empire, which earned a 5.3 in the 18-49 demo when it premiered in 2015. In the core men's demographic, which the creator star Seth Rogen work has been traditionally scoring high, where Orville scored a 2.8, which is also the highest since Empire's 3.1 in 2015. Bottom line, so far, the Orville is a hit. But like I said, let's see what it does this week. Now, it is, you know, it did lead in from a football game, and it's going to lead in from a football game this week, too. But, you know, I've seen people, you know, trash the show on Facebook. So, says that everybody didn't go for it. Now, one of the things that will happen throughout the season is Star Trek actors will show up on the show as cameo guests. And, does it say who's going to show up? Let me see. Well, there's going to be a couple. It's not going. I guess it's going to be not. Of course, it would kind of make sense that they can get people to show up. Now, whether they'll play similar characters to their Star Trek characters or just show up, who knows? Now, there is at least one person on the regular cast who was a member of Deep Space Nine, Penny Johnson. She plays the ship doctor on the Orville. And to me, I need to see more episodes before I know if it's really great or not. Cause you never know with Apollo. Apollo is shot just to show the networks what the show is. And then usually when they have a chance to actually work on the show, once it's greenlit, then you get better episodes. So let's see how the next couple episodes turn out. And I think I'm almost out of stories. Let me check. Yeah. I'm out of stories for today. Oh, well. Another week without calls, so let's just put the show to bed. Let me tell you all the shows that here on Rant Eon Radio. Tomorrow should be a new episode of the Sports Report around 11:15 p.m. tomorrow. Tuesday, doubleheader of Shiny Wizards and Turnbuckle Throwbacks at 7 and 9 p.m. Thursday, Rant and Wrestling at 9. Friday's Turnbuckle Throwbacks. And I'll be back here next Sunday at 5 p.m. for the What Are You Reading Comic Book Show. And we should be having a pay-per-view coming up soon for wrestling, so we'll talk about that soon enough. Anyway, well, since nobody called in, I'm done. And get back to watching football. I'll see y'all next week. Peace.